everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. We welcome you to the Buckmaster program. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio for this Friday. It is the 6th of March, 2020. We are live weekday during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have quite an archive of programs available, pretty much going back to day one when we launched the radio project back in the first week of January in 2011. So that means we are embarked on our 10th year on the radio with the Buckmaster Show. Buckmastershow.com is the place to live stream the program for anywhere in the world live listening. Also the place for the podcasts and all of the archives. Friday, a big media shout out. Some of our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, our friend Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. That's Dan Shear and his great organization. The Tucson Local Media Group and Portfolio Publications. That includes Inside Tucson Business, our friend Jim Ninsel over at the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you, sir?
Just fine, Bill. Glad to be here.
And we're welcoming a new member of the Buckmaster team, and he is Justin Sayers. Justin covers local government for the Arizona Daily Star. He worked at the Louisville Courier before joining the Star. Justin, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I want to begin right away, Mr. Huckleberry, with the top story. What is the latest on the preparation in Pima County for the coronavirus?
Well, I think, Bill, it's really trying to get the information that's accurate and correct out to the public and to have everyone understand that, you know, this is a public health issue and that they shouldn't panic, and that I think the worst thing we can do is overreact. We have our public health officials, our chief medical officer, our director of public health in communication daily, with the CDC and the Arizona Department of Health Services, as well as the medical community. And they're in this process now of beginning almost daily communications with individuals who are responsible for this issue and trying to inform the public accurately of what's occurring and to, I think, prepare for probably it's not, I think, when or if we have our first case. It's really when. And that to understand that it's very similar to a bad flu season, and that the people who are most vulnerable are those individuals who are vulnerable during the flu season, the elderly and those who have underlying conditions.
Justin, I think there's been a lot of concern around the country about the Center for Disease Control really seems to have been kind of caught napping when it comes to the kits that have been sent out to departments like here in Pima County to the health department.
Yeah, I did see a story in the Atlantic today that basically reached out to every single health department nationwide, asked them how many tests they've actually performed. It was significantly lower than what the federal administration is telling us.
What are we seeing as far as the number of test kits in the state of Arizona, Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, I understand they're increasing rapidly, but as of just a few days ago, we had, I think, only about 300 test kits in Arizona. I think that number is dramatically increasing now, and so that's really one of the things that we need to do. I think there was a lot of misinformation about, you know, go get tested. Well, you can't be tested when there aren't test kits, and so that caused a great deal of confusion. I think that's beginning to come under control, and I think the biggest issue we have is just basically getting accurate information out so that people know how to react and how to best protect themselves and their family from this particular virus, or frankly, even the flu itself.
And we had Dr. Trujillo, Justin, and Mr. Huckleberry on the program yesterday. The school district TUSD, the largest in Southern Arizona, has kind of got their plan ready. And the last resort, according to Dr. Trujillo, would be to close down the schools in Pima County. In fact, Dr. Trujillo told me it would have to be a government-ordered mandate to do it. Now, the good news, Justin and Mr. Huckleberry, is that this particular strain of virus, this corona, part of the palette of the coronaviruses, which the common cold is part of the corona family, is not necessarily targeting young people and school-age kids.
That's correct. I think there's been enough experience in China to understand that it's not really hitting the younger age children. And so that's the good news. And I think, Dr. Turiel's correct. When you think about it, when we had H1N1, when we had SARS, when we had a really bad flu season, we don't close schools. And
right.
So the issue is don't overreact again.
The thing that can be done probably, Justin, that will do more good than anything else is such a simple thing. 20 seconds of washing your hands.
Yeah,
and singing
happy birthday twice.
Happy birthday twice, and basically that's a good start. So you think at this point, Mr. Huckleberry, the plan is in place, and that plan, will it encourage, if things got bad enough, to avoid large gatherings, or does it get into that kind of detail or not necessarily?
It really doesn't get into that kind of detail, because I think if you start closing large gatherings, you have a huge amount of social disruption, you have economic losses, and so we're not there yet. We're far from that. One of the things that we're doing is both our health department director and our chief medical officer are going to be basically giving at least daily updates, and they'll be recorded, and they'll be put on our webpage.
When does that start?
That started today.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be every weekday, and they're going to basically give a message that says, here's what we know today, and here's what you should or shouldn't do. If in fact nothing's changed from day to day, they'll be on the next day and say, nothing's changed from the day I talk to you yesterday.
Okay.
So again, it's trying to get the information out to the public so everyone really has common information base in which to make decisions.
All right, Justin, let's transition with Mr. Huckleberry away from coronavirus and into something that the pay-as-you-go with the road plan. We have council members Kasachek and Cunningham. We had Mr. Cunningham on last week. He's furious about this.
Yeah, he's not very happy about it.
That basically the taxpayers of the city of Tucson are getting hit for road work that's being done in Pima County.
And yes, that's exactly it. So the argument from the council members Cunningham and Kasachek is that it's a property tax increase that's going to affect every resident of Pima County when the roads that are going to be fixed are only unincorporated Pima County roads.
And Mr. Huckleberry, your response?
Well, we have a response, but we'll basically, listen to any particular concerns they have at any time. And obviously, they can discuss their concerns with members of the Board of Supervisors. It's ultimately the board who makes a decision with regard to how to spend county money and county funds. The counter argument is that Pima County in 1997 voted to approve a number of city streets using funds that are exclusively dedicated to the unincorporated area of Pima County. We're aware of the equity issue, and so when we put together the pay-as-you-go plan, we said we can never spend more than what the county HERF revenues have been
the
spent
highway
inside
user
the
transportation
city.
Funds, okay.
And we need to be cognizant of equity, and so I think, we're aware of that, and I don't think we're going to do anything that would cause an equity issue with respect to taxation.
And yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from my reporting on this is that they're arguing they just want a seat at the table. So have they reached out to you regarding a meeting about PAYGO?
At this point, I think they haven't, but to be fair to them, I've talked to the city manager on this issue and assured the city manager that as we put together our budget this year, they'll certainly be invited to comment on and to discuss the issues and talk about it. I think what we're missing is that the PAYGO plan, at least if we were to share a certain component of the the taxes that are being spent to fix roads, it's very minor. It's probably, you know, even if we were to split it with the city, it'd be $5 to $10 million. Well, the problem we have out there is $500 or $600 million. And so I don't think we should be arguing over $1 million here or there. We need to talk about how to address this issue from a regional perspective. And frankly, that's the RTA. And that's what we ought to be concentrating our efforts on.
Where are we then? And for folks that don't know the pay-as-you-go, perhaps, could you give us a bottom line? What is pay-as-you-go versus what was being done before pay-as-you-go?
Previously, over the last probably 30 years, Pima County financed its capital infrastructure through bond issues, going to the voters and asking to be in debt for a period of time, borrowing money essentially, and then making capital improvements. We're switching from doing what we call capital financing through borrowing and bonding to simply paying with your existing revenue stream. And so it takes a while to get there. It takes probably 3 to 5 years to build up the revenue stream to where it actually means something. And we're in the first and second year of that process now. But it's really switching from debt financing to simply paying your bills as you go and financing what you can with your annual revenues.
Is that something commonly done in counties, or pay-as-you-go? Is it a preferred vehicle or no?
It historically depends on your tax base and your ability to tax. It's always been the preferred option in Maricopa County.
Really? Why is that?
Simply because their primary property tax rate is so low that they can artificially keep it higher. And then basically, you know, your tax rate is supposed to pay for your operating and maintenance expense. Well, they're using it for operating, maintenance, and capital. And that capital in Maricopa County is about $250 million a year. And we're trying to build our pay-as-you-go capital to about $50 million a year. And it just simply means is that you're going to keep your tax rate a little higher than it needs to be to pay for operating and maintenance, because it now also has to pay for capital.
Justin, I'm interested how this pay-as-you-go, which is a 10-year plan, is going to, how does that fit with the RTA what they're doing, which in that program expires in 2026.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are getting ready for RTA 2.
Yes, correct? We are. Yeah. There's a lot of planning going in today on RTA 2. Just last year, there was legislation that allowed the RTA tax levy to go from 1 half cent to 1 full cent. And so, you know, obviously, since we're a growing metropolitan region and the state has not invested anything in transportation in over 30 years, you know, I'm going to be an advocate that talks about, I think we ought to be talking about a 1 cent RTA renewal with a significant component dedicated to fix the roads in both Pima County and the city of Tucson and every other jurisdiction.
Would they go for it? Would the voters go for that full 1 cent?
Well, if history
versus what we would talk, a half cent or a 1 cent?
If history is anything to be instructive, the voters of Phoenix did it. They basically have like a 1.5 cent sales tax dedicated for transportation. Now, that's all-inclusive transportation. It's road repair and a good component of transit, but that's really exactly what we're talking about with a new renewal of the RTA.
With the renewal, so if we went to 1 cent, I'm hearing you say pretty much this would be really put a dent into our situation and would cover the road repair. There'd be money for road repairs, which the current RTA really was never about road repairs.
Correct. The current RTA was all about mobility and transit and improving roads.
Right.
Repair never came up. It was never a discussion. And when the plan was formulated, today it's in the discussion every day. And so I think the point is let's fix the roads once and for all, and let's do it quickly. And then what we'll be able to do is once they're fixed, each jurisdiction can dedicate its transportation revenues to maintain those roads so they never get in the condition again that they are today.
And it's interesting you brought up 30 years, and now if I'm thinking, would that be the last time the state of Arizona raised the gas tax?
That was the last time the gas tax, and it was increased in 1990.
There you go. So there was talk at the legislature of that getting something like that going again. But if history is any, again, it doesn't happen. It hasn't happened for you.
It's now got further than it's ever gotten.
Really?
And it's basically, there was a Campbell Bill who's a transportation chair.
Yeah.
And it was an 18-cent gas tax increase. Well, that's been talked down to a 6-cent gas tax increase in parity with electric vehicles.
Are you saying, though, it's still alive in the legislature?
It's still alive.
On life support.
I don't hold out a lot of hope for it. But I think the point is it's gotten further than it's ever gotten. So at least there's some recognition that the transportation network and system in Arizona is starving.
All right. Justin Sayer sticks around with us from the Arizona Daily Star, as does Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. If you have any questions for Mr. Huckleberry, 790-2040. He'd be happy to entertain your comment or question. But right now I want to tell everyone, Justin and Mr. Huckleberry, about my favorite bakery. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. Justin, do you live in the northern part of town?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not.
Well, wherever you live, it would be worth a trip for you to go to Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They do just a beautiful job with something they call the Danish Kringle. Folks who are from the Midwest, like myself, know the Kringle, very popular with in certain parts of the country, and you'll get a great Kringle at Mona's. They're open right now for lunch. They start serving breakfast. The grill's all fired up each morning at 6:30, again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. The website, monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com to not only Mona's, but all of the 24 or so partners that make what we do on the radio possible. Coming up on 12:21, Mr. Huckleberry will stick around for another 10 minutes or so. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday focus portion of the Friday show. We bring in a newsmaker, take a deeper dive into a couple of particular subjects. And today it's with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Justin Sayers making his debut with us here on the Friday show. Justin, a former Louisville Courier reporter from Southern California originally, now over here at the Arizona Daily Star. Did you go to journalism school, Justin, at UCLA or somewhere like
no,
that?
No, I actually went to U of A.
Oh,
yeah, I graduated 2014, and then I actually just graduated again in December. So, with my master's. So.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Before the break, Mr. Huckleberry, we're talking about the pay as you go. And, you know, people freak out. We're talking about the gas tax has not been, it's 30 years since there was any addition to that. People freak out when you talk about taxes. What about fees?
I think that's the great dichotomy. When you mention the word tax, everybody just says, oh, you can't do it. It should, you know, and it's just, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. But then you turn around and say fee, and it's ho-hum. Best example is the legislature just last year, if you remember, the fee they passed for vehicle licensed taxes.
That's right.
And so it wasn't a tax. It was a fee you were going to put on your registration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that got through the Arizona legislature. Had it had the word tax assigned to it, it would never had stood a chance.
Do people in unincorporated Pima County pay any fees that go to the city of Tucson?
Well, if they use services for the city of Tucson, of course they're going to pay a fee if the fees are set by the mayor and council. And mm-hmm. so that's just part of doing business. If you want a particular service and they've attached a fee to it, you're going to have to pay it.
What about fees? I think you're going to be examining that in the Sunday paper, Justin.
Yeah, so this will serve as my tease for that story.
There you go.
Yeah. I think part of the debate regarding PAYGO for the city is that they're obviously in the budget process right now. They're looking at potential fee increases for environmental services. They did approve a fee increase for water this week. They're looking at potential parks and rec fee increases, impact fee increases. So I think the quote that Steve Kozacik gave was this could potentially be death by a million paper cuts.
The fee, how about Pima County's fees? Have they been going up?
Well, we, you know, the one thing that we're been, you know, our main fee is our sewer user fee.
Right.
And that has not been increased in about 5 years. Now, that being said, you got to remember is before that, we did increase the fees quite significantly in order to pay for the new systems that have been built in the wastewater system. But we're at the point now to where we can forecast that we're probably not going to be looking at a fee increase next year or for the future, probably 2 or 3 years out. So we've been very stable in fees, at least in the largest fees that we collect, which are our sewer user fees.
All right. While we're talking about money, the federal government, we had the whole dust up about Stone Garden. I'm just curious, where are we right now with the refugee housing situation? Haven't heard an update on this in weeks, maybe even months, about what's going on in Pima County. I assume we are still housing refugees at the former area at the Pima County Juvenile Detention Center.
Yes, it's Casa Jalitas is what it's called, and it's at the former Juvenile Justice Center, and it's operated by Catholic Community Services, and they're still accepting refugees or asylum seekers.
But just a trickle, would you say, to what it was when it was over at the former Benedictine Monastery?
It's been a trickle to maybe 20 and 30, you know, or 40 or 50 a week, not 500 a week. However, the Court of Appeals, and I think it was in the Ninth Circuit, which is Arizona and California, basically overturned the Trump administration policy of remain in Mexico. And there's an appeal, or there's been a request to take it to the Supreme Court. There was an announcement recently that the Border Patrol and it sounds like the Customs are abandoning that particular process in Arizona and California because of the Court of Appeals. So my guess is we'll start to see a significant uptick in asylum seekers turned over at Casa Jalitas in the next, you know, week or two.
How about reimbursements? Have we gotten any?
We will file for our second phase of reimbursements.
I know you tried on once before.
March the 16th, I think, is the date. And we're fairly confident we'll be fully compensated for the expenditures we've made to date. The bigger argument we're having is over what we call indirect expenses. And what we can't understand is why a grant from the Department of Justice allows the county to recover indirect expenses, and a grant from Department of Homeland Security does not. They're both federal agencies. They both operate under the same United States code. And so we've appealed that. We'll continue to appeal it and try and recover as much money as we can for the local taxpayer.
I'm hearing it's really slow getting any money now from the federal government for programs like homelessness and everything else. Are you experiencing that in Pima County?
It takes a long time to, you know, basically get your money back. You got to put your money out first and then hope you're going to get reimbursed. And it's just a constant struggle. You know, what happens is it's tied up in a lot of process. That a lot of it is kind of, you know, it's more costly for local governments to actually go through that process, and that process is complex and takes time to get through.
Was there any Stone Garden money that was left over?
There's probably Stone Garden money that was returned because, again, the county declined to accept the Stone Garden grant, even as we are beginning to phase ourselves out of Stone Garden, because I think we've come to the conclusion that there's a much better way to provide law enforcement services than simply paying overtime for a specific purpose. And that's simply to hire more law enforcement and put them out where we believe they're needed in the rural parts of Pima County.
Justin, as you know, in the city, and that's your current beat right now of the city, it's a huge issue about a shortage of police officers that's going on. And soon here we'll be talking with the new fire chief. We've got him scheduled. City fire chief came from Virginia, but I don't know what their staffing issue is like. But I'm curious about people who live in the sheriff's department in the jurisdiction. Are they getting the services they need as far as response time?
Well, so far, our response time has not been affected. We've been fairly stable. We run typically about between 500 and 550 sworn officers and always have for about the last 10 years. So I don't think response times are an issue. It's whether or not we need a specialized unit that does more activity in the rural parts of Pima County to help with what we call border crime issues.
Justin, any further comment from you?
I mean, you did mention TPD and their problems with, I think their biggest problem is with retention. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that in this year's budget, they have received approval to hire a few more officers. So that came out in the budget retreat a couple weeks ago.
At that budget retreat, did Mr. Huckleberry's name come up?
I'm just kidding. And not that I remember, but that was pre-Pago.
Just wondering about the relationship with the new mayor who will be on the program here in a couple of weeks. And Mr. Huckleberry, you've known Rahina forever, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I certainly have. And I think, you know, the issue is we communicate well. I communicate well with the city manager, and we're going to do whatever we can to cooperate with the city. We need to, because we're stronger when we agree with each other. We can get more done, and we need to basically understand that cooperation goes a lot further than confrontation.
We do have some consolidation. We have libraries that are consolidated. Some courts
courts are being talked about.
I think that's
another one that we have some benefit that could occur. We have the flood control district building flood control facilities inside the city of Tucson, particularly a Christmas Wash drainage basin. So there's a lot of regional effort that can be advanced with joint cooperation between the city and the county.
You know, I don't know in your business, Mr. Huckleberry, if there's been any studies whether metro government really saves you money in the long run. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Oh, no.
Places like Clark County up in Las Vegas with metro government. And I'm just wondering if you've ever seen any in your business, do county administrators ever talk about, we could save a lot of money with metro government?
You get some savings internally with basically support agencies.
Yes.
You get no savings with the agencies that deliver direct services. And so I think our model here is more functional consolidation, where each entity and each government unit contains and retains its identity, but where we can cooperate and consolidate, we should.
All right, Chuck Huckleberry, it's good to see you. Thank you, Mr. Huckleberry.
Thank you, Bill.
Hope you have a great weekend. Justin Sayer sticks around from the Arizona Daily Star. We have Luigi Del Puerto. Luigi does such a great job for the Arizona Capital Times. We call on him to get a legislative update. And one thing, Justin, I think we'll ask Luigi about that sanctuary cities. There was some talk about legislation that would punish any sanctuary cities in Tucson or cities around Arizona like Tucson that might even think about going sanctuary city.
And yeah, this has been kind of the hot debate for a while now. And obviously the city rejected the Sanctuary City initiative that was on the ballot in November.
But lawmakers are still worried that could come up again.
Yeah, and I think what gets lost in this discussion too is the city and actually the county as well do what they call immigrant-friendly policies.
Yes.
So they do a lot of what the Sanctuary City idea is already. So I think that was kind of one of the forgotten reasons why that initiative was lost in November. It was because they were doing a lot of these things already.
A lot of things were already being done, right? All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1240. Now we turn to what we call the roundtable portion of our Friday hour, where we have myself and journalists talking about some of the big stories of the week and generally what's going on. And today, specifically up at the Arizona Legislature, Justin Sayers is with me in studio. We thank Justin for his support in our interview with Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. Justin is at the Arizona Daily Star. He was covering county government, and now he's over at city government, so I call him now a governmental affairs reporter. How does that work?
It works perfectly.
There you go, Justin. All right, let's turn now on the live line. Let's go up to Phoenix. Luigi Del Puerto, we always turn to Luigi. He's one of our contributors about the legislature. Luigi is an award-winning journalist who oversees the newsroom of the Arizona Capital Times. He also manages the business units of Arizona News Service. Luigi, how are you, sir?
I am so glad it's Friday, Bill. How are you?
I am very glad it's Friday. Doing very well. I want to ask you, let's cut right to the chase. What is emerging kind of here as the marquee issue that's got to be taken care of before this thing ends up in Phoenix?
We've had some pretty big flare-ups, if you will, on issues that have been very controversial. That includes the proposal to ban transgender women from joining women's sports, something that the House passed this week. We've had legislators who are upset, angry, cranky with each other the last 2 weeks or so, and they've filed ethics complaints. So far, those ethics complaints have really gone nowhere. Those are sorts of the, I don't want to call them necessarily side issues because they're not side issues. They're pretty big ones. But the marquee topic or issue in the state capitol remains to be the state budget. It's something that they had wanted to pass by last week, and they haven't done it. And the plan was maybe, you know, we could get it done this week. That hasn't happened, and it looks like it's not going to happen next week either. But, you know, with the budget, things could happen pretty quickly. I've seen it when they would say, well, maybe we can't get it done. And then on Monday, they have budget bills. On Tuesday, they started debating them. On Wednesday, it's done.
Anybody concerned about the coronavirus up at the legislature?
Yes. The House and the Senate have begun to take measures to try and minimize the potential for people getting exposed to the virus. For example, in the Senate, they've started, making sure that the railings in the stairs are clean. They're wiping them every 2 hours or so. You know, they've had briefings with the director of the Department of Health Services, Dr. Kara Crist, about the state of the virus in Arizona. And the state of the virus in Arizona is we have two positive cases. About 36 individuals have been tested, and last time I looked, there's 24 of them that have been ruled out, and presumably the rest are pending. Those two cases that we have are cases that are not from community transmission. What I mean by that is one case traveled from Wuhan, China, to Arizona, and so he got the virus from there. And the second case is a person who got exposed to somebody who tested positive from another state. And so they're saying there's no evidence yet in Arizona of what they refer to as community transmission. That's when people get infected and there's no known connection to somebody who tested positive or no known travel to an area with an outbreak.
All right, let's bring Justin Sayers of the Arizona Daily Star into the conversation. Justin, go ahead. You're with Luigi Del Puerto of the Arizona Capital Times.
Hi, Luigi. Nice to virtually meet you.
Hi, Justin.
So yeah, I guess my question is surrounding sanctuary cities. I cover the city government here, and obviously the Tucson Council came out pretty strongly against those removed bills that would have banned sanctuary cities in the state. So is that something that's going to continue to pop up, or is that pretty much dead now?
It is pretty much dead. There is no desire on the part of the governor to deal with this issue. In fact, what happened was the governor and leadership in both chambers decided a couple weeks ago that this proposal, although it's coming from the governor's office, is not going anywhere this session. I think what happened was they saw the reaction and they concluded that it's too risky, politically it's too risky for Republicans, and it's creating a distraction from the things that they want to focus on in the state legislature, and so it's dead.
What about initiatives, Luigi? Give us an overview of what might emerge from this session on the ballot in November in Arizona.
They are going through a couple initiatives. In the state legislature right now. One of them would require that people re-vote previous initiatives that have been in place, in our statutes for decades, for example, and that we would sort of revisit them every couple years or so. So that's still active in the Arizona legislature, and it looks like that might pass. So we might see that as one of the initiatives on the ballot. Outside of the legislature referring what we call ballot referrals, of course, we have the the recreational marijuana initiative that I believe is also going to be on the ballot. There's the Invest in Ed initiative that would provide for more funding for our educational system. That's also happening outside of the legislature. And, of course, the question, really the big question, is the groups supporting the Invest in Ed initiative, do they have the money for it? Meaning to say they can pay for signature gatherers to go gather the signatures and get this measure on the ballot. And it looks to me that they might have the funding for it, but that remains to be seen. The number of signatures, if I'm not mistaken, that they need this year is something like 237,000 signatures. That's an immensely big number to clear. And just to be sure that the chances of you actually clearing that threshold, you have to gather at the very least 20% more than that minimum.
All right. Luigi, we're going to let you go because I want to carve out a couple of minutes here at the roundtable with Justin on a local issue about the Confederate flag. So Luigi, we're going to let you go. Keep an eye on the legislature for us, and we will be back with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have fun.
Thanks a lot. Luigi Del Puerto, associate publisher and Arizona News service editor. Basically, he oversees the newsroom up there in Phoenix with the award-winning Arizona Capital Times. Okay, I have Justin Sayers with us in studio. Justin covers city government for the Arizona Daily Star. He has a piece today about this issue, that the dust-up that really started with the Ward 1 councilwoman bringing this up about the Confederate flag, and there was a float, I think, Sons of Confederate Veterans in the rodeo parades. That's kind of what started this, right?
Yes. So for a long time, Confederate flags have flown in the parade in two places. One is in the color guard that's at the forefront of the parade, and the other is on the float of the Sons of the Confederate Veterans. So the group bills itself as kind of a historical a group that tries to preserve the history, including symbols of the Confederacy. So council member Santa Cruz, who was just newly elected, this was her first parade as an elected official, said that she had received a number of calls upset with that, with the flag being the flags being included in the parade. She wrote an editorial for us, and I believe the Tucson Sentinel, saying she was going to boycott the parade unless they removed those flags. And about 5 days later, the committee met on Tuesday night and decided that they were no longer going to use the flag that was included on the float in the parade, but they're still going to be using that flag that is in the color guard.
The flag on the float is the commonly used flag of the, I think they call it the battle flag of Virginia,
so it's,
or something.
It's the rebel flag,
right,
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. That everybody is so familiar with.
And believe it or not, that actually is not the official
flag
of the Confederacy.
States.
That's actually called the Stars and Bars flag.
Hmm.
So I made sure to link to pictures of those because I know it can be a little confusing.
So is this enough to for the councilwoman and for Mayor Romero to say that's okay? Or
so Mayor Romero had asked for the removal of the flags, and she would like to see the Pascua Yaqui and Tohono O'odham flags also be included in that color guard. The rodeo committee has... they said yesterday, a representative said yesterday, that the that has not been discussed yet by the committee, but they try to be historically accurate, and they said that based on their evaluation, those flags never flew as the actual governmental entity that oversaw Tucson.
Okay. We'll see how that goes, right? Justin, we're out of time. We'll look for your piece in the Star on Saturday. I think you're going to be addressing what we were talking in some ways with Mr. Huckleberry about fees in the city, right?
Yes, and that'll be on Sunday, actually.
Sunday's paper in the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you very much, Justin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Justin Sayers from the Arizona Daily Star. His premier visit here to the Buckmaster Show. Think he did really well. So we'll have him back here on the program. There you go. You get another shot.
God.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. Coming up next in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, we'll jumpstart the weekend with Matt Russell, Weekend Watch, right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan,
the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Oh, I love to hear that. Stir it up, baby, because that means we are on, well, let's call it officially, into the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So excited about welcoming you, our Southern Arizona residents, to their beautiful portion of the world. Just a three-hour drive. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of ideas of what to do, like visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Where to stay? That's also at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, award-winning Tucson publicist. He does On the Menu Live, a very popular blog. He's the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We made it to Friday, didn't we?
What was that?
I said we made it to Friday.
Oh, we did make it to Friday. And when we do make it to Friday, Matt, that means usually another opening.
Yeah, your source for restaurant openings here on the Buckmaster Show. I've been really excited to watch the intersection of Grant and Tucson Boulevard take shape over the years, kind of from a culinary perspective. And the newest eatery to join the block is Postino. Now, this is a fun concept that started in Phoenix and is now all over Arizona, Texas, and Colorado. And they're all about bruschetta and meat and cheese boards and wonderful soups and salads. They really anchor this menu with a wine list that focuses on premium wines at kind of affordable and approachable prices. And get this, Bill, you're going to enjoy glasses of wine and pitchers of beer for only $5 until 5 o'clock. Welcome to Tucson Postino. We'll see you this weekend.
Well, you could head over there right now and get yourself a pitcher, I'll tell you.
Indeed. I'll rate you.
Speaking of wine, we have such a growing and award-winning wine area of southeast Arizona, don't we?
We absolutely do. Really, all eyes of the world are really kind of fascinated by what's happening here on the wine scene in southern Arizona. And the weather tomorrow is going to be spectacular down in Elgin, making the annual Southeast Arizona Wine Growers Festival a must if you enjoy, like I do, sipping the best wines in the Grand Canyon State. It's going to be at the Keith Joshua Vineyards from 11 to 5. And there's going to be 20 Arizona wineries pouring samples of their best. There's going to be live music as well. Food trucks are going to be dishing out some great food to pair with your wine. $30 gets you in the gate for what I think is going to be a delicious day down at Elgin.
Oh, and perfect weather, late upper 70s, around 80 degrees. You can't beat it. One of my favorite fundraisers is the Empty Bowls. Is that coming up soon?
It It absolutely is. And I've heard from people talking about this on the Buckmaster Show over the years that have gone and they just loved it. It is tomorrow at 11 o'clock a.m. at the Chinese Cultural Center on West River Road. Of course, empty bowls to support interfaith community services. You're going to get bowls and bowls of soup and fresh baked breads from local chefs, all for just $25. There's going to be silent auctions and raffles and entertainment. And I love this. You actually will leave the event with a special handmade bowl that's crafted by a local potter as a memento. So fighting hunger, feeding the needy, this is what this event is all about. So I say, fill up your bowls at Empty Bowls.
Win-win situation. Matt Russell, have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
Go, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original music is composed by our friend Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant Rose Brandt for making sure all the podcasts get up in a very timely manner. My engineer producer today, John Couch, does such a great job, as does Tom Fairbanks with me also a couple of days a week here on the program. Really, the entire team, Bustos Media Tucson, wishing you a safe and wonderful weekend.